Your name, please?
Paul Newman.
And your occupation and position?
Actor.
Mr. Newman, what does the actor look for before he accepts a part in a motion picture?
Well, my viewpoint roughly is that there are so many different things that go into picking and choosing a part that if you got 5 minutes later, I'll try to explain it.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with Paul Newman, who will reveal to you what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in life. Produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Paul Newman, noted motion picture star whose credits include Hud, The Hustler, Harper, Lady L, Torn Curtain, and Ombre. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mr. Paul Newman. How important to the motion picture is the story itself?
Well, going back to the beginning question, what does an actor look for? At least, what do I look for? It really is a combination of things. I think one of the most important things to look for now is the originality of the framework in which the character is placed. The Hustler, I think, was deeply original. Pool and the world of pool halls had not really been explored. That was an original thing for the audience because basically the story itself had elements of repetition in that had been seen before. Hud was interesting because it was, again, contemporary Texas. You also look for the emotional variety in a part. By emotional, that can be laughter as well as anger or rage or anything. But basically, the quality of the scripts in the last three or four years, five, 6 years, has been so bad that you basically try to find the most distinguished film that you can find at that particular time when you're available.
Is the downgrading of the quality of the scripts a result of anything in our culture, or why would this be?
The theater is generally not an initiative body, it's a reflective body. So if you have violence, if you have things that are overloaded sexually, for instance, that will reflect itself in the theater. If it is a period of social protest, as it was in the 30s, and social upheaval, then you'll get the Kingsleys and the Odettes writing. The next interesting period was really as a result of World War II. Psychiatry. That occurred more on television, I think, than anything else. But you had a period of Daddy Never Kissed Me, and that's why I'm as sick as I am. But still an interesting period because it was new. You got that, what we call the kitchen drama. The small psychiatric examination of one kind or another. But there is no such period now, really. It is a period of repetition. There's nothing really very, very fresh to come along. But one of the reasons with that was that the writers who would be writing for the theater and would be writing for motion pictures, the Chayefskys, the Tadmoiselles, and all those people, they were so exhausted by the medium of television because their production in 5 years might have been the exhaustion of 40 ideas that went on our television shows. And those 40 ideas, had they been placed in the theater, would have been 40 plays. But they were just thrown away, so that the writers literally are exhausted now. They've exhausted a period that should have lasted us 30 years and instead lasted us about 7.
Well, then what is the secret ingredient which as an actor you look for as far as the storyline is concerned? Do you look just for the best reflection you can find, or do you try to look for something that's a little more than a reflection? I'm just curious.
Well, as I say, I look for those things that... Basically, the character has got to be stage-worthy. If the character isn't stage-worthy, then you're in trouble regardless of what...
I'm not sure I know what you mean by stage-worthy.
Well, for instance, I just finished a Western. It's called Ombre. He was obviously a detached person. He was what I call a mystical anti-hero hero. He was detached. He was formal, almost adolescent in terms of that formality. Now, when you watch it, and the reactions, of course, had to be just very subtle. There was hardly any reflections. Wouldn't carry on stage, for instance. You could never play a character like that. You hope that the camera is capable of catching it. Is that going to be interesting detachment, or will it turn into the monotony of detachment, the monotony of formality? You never know until the film is put together. You can't always, make those judgments. You can't always be sure.
Mr. Newman, is an actor something that is born, or is there some training you can get that helps along the way?
Well, I don't think he's born. I think he needs training. I think some people need more training than others. I think there's an instinctive person who is an instinctive athlete, there is a person who instinctively has more perception about people, has a closer grasp of his emotions and accessibility to them. It's very difficult for a person in this country to be an actor because our heritage is such that there's a tremendous premium on containment of emotion, and not, for instance, as you would see in the Latin countries, in Italy, where emotion is big and expressed, and in England, there's a kind of reserve that falls over. It's what I call emotional republicanism. And it's very, very difficult for a person who's raised in that to suddenly feel as though he can become an actor unless he learns to get to these emotions and to have them at his fingertips.
Well, when a person's actually involved in a part, does he live the part? Does he almost forget who he really is and become the character?
Well, you'd have to be insane to do that. I mean, literally insane. There's always a tremendous percentage of you that is totally, completely aware of what you're doing. I think you get hangovers from characters, a hangover of a walk that you've used. I remember ever since I went around with Rocky Graziano, I now spit. And it's really absolutely awful. Now, I never spit before in my life, but all over Fifth Avenue, up and down the street. And that's been 10 years ago.
So that a little bit of the character becomes part of you.
Yeah, and after a while, you begin to wonder if you aren't just merely fragments of people that you've played.
Well, now, what's the function of the director in relationship to the actor?
Well, the director, in a best sense, I think, would be the director who viewed motion picture as what I call a community experience. That is the experience of working together with the actor to create a mood, to create a character. In its best form, an actor should be able to walk on stage with about 5 different ways to play one scene. That's if you have a character that is rich and has a certain kind of dimension. In its worst form, I think a director treats the actor like puppets. That it involves no exploration, really. That he views it as a directorial art totally. My experience with people like that is that it works out very badly for them, and it works out very badly for me.
Going on to another area, Mr. Newman. Every profession has its dangers. Is there any danger in the acting profession if one becomes so successful that he or she becomes a celebrity?
You never really appreciate your anonymity until you lost it. And I think that's the most difficult area for an actor, is to treat himself realistically. I mean, I know that when the playwright creates this celluloid character that 8, 10, 12 million people go and see. I don't take any credit for that. I am embarrassed, really, by that kind of attention, because I realize that that has nothing to do with me as a human being. And they put these flawless, terribly competent men up there, you know. I just merely happen to act it. I'm neither flawless nor competent. So I have to view it with a a certain kind of embarrassment, a great sense of humor, and I avoid it as much as I possibly can.
What sort of areas do you find yourself interested in outside of your acting, your professional work, if it's not too personal a question?
Well, when you got six kids, that pretty well answers the first part of that question. I am interested in politics. There's a marvelous group called the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions in Santa Barbara, California, that I have made probably my major, well, I can't certainly call them a charity, but certainly the major focus for myself. In fact, Bishop Pike is now with the center. All that you can basically say is that outside of that, you try to be informed. You participate when you can. You spread what you have to other people and to other things that you believe in. Try to drink and smoke minimally. Stay in fairly decent shape. I don't know, just the commonplace things that everybody else is interested in.
You mentioned, Mr. Newman, to stay with the things you believe in. Do you think that a fundamental belief is a necessity?
Well, I think a fundamental belief is a necessity. I'm not quite sure where you get it. I have a tendency to go along with Bishop Pike, and I suppose that I would go along with another Episcopalian, the Bishop of Woolwich, I think it is. Now, is that
Robinson? Spelled, Bishop Robinson.
Yeah.
Woolwich is right. It's spelled Woolwich.
Yeah. When he says that the capital T-H-O-U does not exist upstairs, in quotes, but exists somewhere in the bosom. I like the idea of the servant church. So then one must logically ask, and it's a question that I asked of Bishop Pike. He sees the church as a social conscience church, not only a servant church, but a politically active church.
What are the satisfactions, Mr. Newman, you get from your work?
What are the satisfactions that I get from my work? Well, strangely enough, they're becoming less and less. The actor is kind of hung up inside his own skin, really. There are ultimately a certain number of things that he can do as a human being. There's a certain number of ways that he can physicalize. There are a certain number of ways in which he can look at someone who's dying or something like that. And after a while, I sense it anyway, the beginning of repetition in my work. I did a little something from that in the one before that, and there's a little bit of this character in that one. And
thank you very much, Mr. Paul Newman, for inviting us here to your home in Connecticut and for giving us your viewpoint.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with Paul Newman, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Paul Newman, noted motion picture star whose credits include Hud, The Hustler, Harper, Lady L, Torn Curtain, and Ombre.